We're in Mark's Gospel this morning, chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 10 on this Palm Sunday. In a sermon entitled, On a Donkey? How great is that? Mark 11, verses 1 to 10. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, Why are you doing this? Say, The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway, and as they untied it, some people standing there asked, What are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their colts over it. He sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Lord Jesus, this Palm Sunday, we pray that we would examine our hearts and minds as we see your scripture during this Holy Week as we celebrate Palm Sunday today as we gather for communion at 7 o'clock on Good Friday of this week and as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday a week from today. Help us to focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, a devotional guide, The Daily Bread, really great, carried a story of a pastor who was also a traveling evangelist who rode a donkey as he traveled from village to village in Brazil preaching the gospel. And one day, that minister, that evangelist, fell asleep in the saddle as he made his return home after a tiring day. A couple of hours later, he was rudely awakened by the roughness of the ride. His donkey had left the trail and was walking through a rocky field. At first, the pastor was angry, but he calmed down when he saw that they were almost back to his village. When he arrived at his church, the pastor learned that friends had gathered to pray for his safety. A rancher who was opposed to the Christian faith had sent some men to attack the evangelist at a bend in the trail. They thanked God for causing the donkey to take a shortcut home. Was that God's prompting or simply the donkey's desire to get home the shortest route possible that caused it to veer off that regular trail? We can't answer that except to affirm this reality from Romans 8:28. All things work to the good for those who love the Lord. Now, donkeys are interesting. And obviously, a donkey is the center of this message today as Jesus rides the donkey on Palm Sunday into Jerusalem. And they have a colorful story, these donkeys do. Dubious reputation. Their reputation, of course, is for stubbornness. It's said that it is considerably more difficult to force or frighten a donkey into doing something it perceives to be dangerous than, say, a horse. Some say that it is because the donkey does not feel a connection to its owner, the same connection that a horse does. Of course, the stubbornness of a donkey is said to have saved the life of one of the Old Testament's less glorious prophets. Numbers chapter 22, verses 21 to 35, talks about a prophet named Balaam. And his donkey is said to have miraculously spoken to him. Spoken to this disobedient, money-hungry prophet in God's behalf. It is one of the most instructive stories of the Old Testament. The Lord is angry at the prophet Balaam because he was trying to go with some Moabite officials against the Lord's wishes. And so the Lord had an angel stand in the way of Balaam. Now there are sometimes, my friends, that the Lord does not want us going down a certain path, and there is the angel of the Lord standing in the way, but we are stubborn and we want to continue down the wrong path. So Balaam is there. He tries to go with these Moabite officials. The donkey is able to see the angel of the Lord with a sword drawn. And so the donkey turned off the road into a field. And this made the prophet Balaam absolutely furious. He beat that poor donkey to make that donkey get back on the road. Again, the angel stood in Balaam's way on a narrow path with walls on both sides. And when the donkey saw the angel, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So clueless, Balaam beat that donkey again. And then the angel moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel, it lay down under Balaam. And again, Balaam was angry and beat the donkey with his staff. And then, according to the story, the Lord opened that donkey's mouth, and the donkey spoke to Balaam and said, "What have I done to you to make you beat me three times?" Now, it is interesting in this story of Numbers, we could spend the whole sermon on it. It is interesting that the prophet is not surprised at all that the donkey is talking to him. Not surprised at all. He says, back to the donkey. He talks back to the donkey. And the prophet says, "You have made a fool out of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." And the incredulous donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey which you have always ridden? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" No, Balaam had to admit. And it was only at that point that the Bible says that the Lord opened the prophet Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. And so he bowed low and fell face down. And the angel of the Lord asked him, "Why? Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you, because you are on a reckless path. The donkey saw me, and fortunately for you, it turned off the path each time. If it had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared that donkey." Balaam said to the angel, "I have sinned. I did not realize that you were blocking me. If you are displeased, I will go back." The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but speak only what I tell you." And that is what Balaam did. Now, I don't know what to make of some of the stories of the Old Testament. I guess this one proves to us that even a prophet can be dumber than a donkey. Especially when that prophet is disobeying God. I've done a little bit of research on donkeys. Did you know that more people are killed by donkeys each year than are killed in plane crashes. I don't know what to do with such information, but I thought it was interesting. The donkey has been used as a working animal for at least 5,000 years. There are more than 40 million donkeys in the world, mostly in underdeveloped countries, where they are used principally as work or pack animals. And working donkeys are often found in the service of people near the poverty level. Small numbers of donkeys are kept for breeding or as pets in developed countries. And in spite of their reputation, donkeys appear to be quite intelligent, cautious, friendly, playful, and eager to learn. And of course, comedian Eddie Murphy provided the voice for the donkey in the movie Shrek. And now you know everything I know about donkeys. Now, you might say, Pastor, man, we've been in Numbers, Balaam and the donkey, why are you spending so much time on donkeys this morning? So when you go and somebody says, what did the pastor preach on this Palm Sunday? You could say, he preached on donkeys. I found out more about donkeys than I had ever known before. I even heard about a talking donkey, a real live talking donkey. Zechariah prophesied before this event in Mark's gospel occurred. In Zechariah 9:9, he prophesied that one day the Messiah would arrive on a donkey. This is a prophecy. This is something that all Jews know about when they are looking for Messiah. One of the prophecies that they're looking at is Zechariah 9:9 that says the Messiah will enter on a donkey. Very, very important. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And as the Bible says, this is exactly what happened. The Bible says, as they approached Jerusalem, verse 1, and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anybody asks you, what and why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. And they went and found a colt outside the street tied to a doorway. And as they untied it, there were actually some people who saw them and asked the question, what are you doing untying this donkey? And they answered as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. And when they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it, and many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. And those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. It's a beautiful story. A story of great humility. On the other side of the city, Pilate is entering the city. So we got Jesus entering from this side on a donkey. We got Pilate entering the other side of the city on a great stallion. And while Jesus was riding into the city on a young and unbroken donkey, Pilate was surrounded by the security force of Roman soldiers bearing their swords and shields and heavy armor. Jesus entered the city, surrounded by unarmed peasants waving palm branches, waving them And waving palm branches is the symbol of peace. So when you get your palm branch today and you wave it to somebody on the road as they're cutting you off, what you're saying is peace! Peace! Pilate's soldier sneered while Jesus' followers sang, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." There is no greater contrast that can be made between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. Brute force versus gentle peace. And yet, more than 2,000 years later, the only reason that we know Pontius Pilate's name is that each time we say the Apostles' Creed, we say about Christ, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Ultimately, gentle peace won out over brute force, as it will one day when the final chapter of humanity is written. True humility is a beautiful thing to see in any human being. The Indian evangelist Sundar Singh had just completed a tour around the world, and God used and blessed his ministry everywhere he went. And while in Europe, someone evidently wanting to bring him down a peg, asked Singh, "Doesn't getting so much honor do you harm?" In other words, don't you have a swelled head by now? And his answer was, "No, no. The donkey went in Jerusalem and they put garments on the ground in front of the donkey. The donkey was not proud. He knew it was not done in honor of him, but for Jesus who is sitting on his back. When people honor me, I know it is not me, but the Lord who does the job." Sundar Singh was a humble man, just as his Lord came with humility that first Palm Sunday. True humility is a beautiful thing to see in any human being. When Jesus came to Jerusalem, there wasn't great preparation made for his coming. There was no royal chariot, no armed guard, just a borrowed donkey to ride on. You see, Jesus came in humility. And yet it is clear from this Bible passage that he was screaming out loud and clear by riding on that donkey, "I am the Messiah. Hey, look here. I am the Messiah." Why? Because everybody knew Zechariah 9:9. Everybody knew that the Messiah was going to enter on a donkey. Jesus is entering on a donkey, fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy. That's why the religious authorities were so stirred up in hatred toward him. They knew that some of the people along that path, placing their cloaks on the road and waving their palm branches there, were hoping that he was the one who would deliver them. Not only was that a threat to the religious establishment, but they knew that if he gathered much of a following, he might bring the might of Rome down on them. He was a threat to the established order. So they plotted what it is that they would do with Jesus. You want to know something? Good Friday, the crucifixion, and as a result, the resurrection would probably not have happened but for Palm Sunday. Someone has noted that the problem with palms is that once you cut the branches from the tree, they don't live long. And that is the problem with Palm Sunday. The excitement of the crowds did not last very long. In a few short days, when Good Friday came, many of those same people who had placed the cloaks down and who had waved the palm branches indicating peace shouted. They were shouting before Hosanna, and now they shouted from the crowd, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" That's the way popular opinion often goes. Fickle and unpredictable. The crowd of people who cheered Jesus at the triumphal entry soon turns into a mob that would later crucify him. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of a donkey, signaling that he was the Messiah, and he set into motion events that he knew were irreversible. This was the beginning of the end, the road to the crucifixion, and then ultimately the road to the resurrection and salvation for all who will believe. Some of the crowd who had sung his praises would be the same people who would participate in his execution. And this humble man, Jesus, who sought to bring only love and compassion into the world, would die the cruelest of deaths on the cross of Golgotha, a death he refused to avoid. And of course, the most amazing thing is that he did that. He died on Calvary's cross for you and for me. I have a hard time believing that we are. Only a God of absolute infinite love could accept us just as we are. We come to him, as the hymn says, just as I am. But one plea. But do you know what's sad to me? There are a lot of people who feel that they deserve God's grace poured out in Christ's passion. They deserve it. That robs the cross of its power. The only way that we'll ever feel the saving power of the cross is when we realize that we could never be worthy of Christ's sacrifice any more than that little donkey he rode on could be worthy of Christ's grace. When it comes to the grace of God in Jesus Christ, we are all charity cases. Jesus was a man of great humility. When he rode into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of a donkey, he set into motion events that he knew were irreversible. They resulted in his crucifixion and death. But here's the great news of the day. He did it out of love for you and me. Greater love has no one than this, says John 15:13, to lay down one's life for one's friends. We are Christ's friends. Not because of any virtue we have, but through his amazing love. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you for Palm Sunday. Help us, Lord, as we worship you and serve you. And, Lord, think of what you did on Palm Sunday, on the cross of Calvary, Resurrection Sunday. Lord, help us to embrace your love and your grace. Help us to admit that we are sinners that need your grace. And then help us to accept it, not because we deserve it, but because you love us so much that you give it to us freely, a gift. Help us to accept that gift in Jesus' name. Amen.